All right, I think we should get started. Next talk. This talk is by Greg Wobben from SIL International and Steve Bird from University of Melbourne, and it's entitled "Curating Lexical Databases for Minority Languages."
Yeah. Okay, Stephen, my co-author, sitting here, and I'll be presenting, and we'll both be answering questions. So our motivations for doing this work. My main motivation is I wanted to be able to proofread a Yumian Chinese English dictionary that we are working on. And I wanted to be able to repurpose another dictionary, another Yumian dictionary. This is a different dialect of Yumian, that dictionary, done by another person. And I hope that others will benefit from our experiences and also from the code that we've developed. Hence giving this presentation, and most of the code's available as part of the Natural Language Toolkit, which is an open source project that Stephen initiated. And Stephen's motivation is that he wants to use natural language processing techniques to support linguistic data management. So what's curation? I think it means, roughly speaking, to take care of, manage or maintain some resource, and often for the use by others. So think of a curator of a museum who maintains a collection of artifacts for use by the public or for scholars. I want to be able to repurpose a dictionary, and if you want to repurpose data, you need to have that data structured. And for data to have structure, that means that you need to have consistency between the different uses of the elements of the structure. And if you want consistency, you need to check it. And consistency checking requires you to have structure. And if you look at these two points and they look a bit circular, that's because they are. It's an iterative process, and you go round and round in a circle, improving each time. So with consistency checking requires structure. So in Toolbox, you can have a cross-reference field to another lexeme. You just spell it out, and you can optionally put a homonym number too. So for consistency checking, I want to check that lexeme exists in the lexical database. And if it has a homonym number, that homonym exists too. So in order to do that consistency checking, I need to be able to read that other lexical entry and pull out the homonym number and the head word. So that's what I mean to do consistency checking. You must have structure. You must have enough structure to pull out those two bits of data so that you can do the consistency check. I've already said it's iterative. So scale. The big problem with dictionaries is the amount of data that you have. Our dictionary has 10,000 entries. We want to proofread that. We can proofread about 250 entries a day, just looking for one specific aspect, not proofreading every aspect of all of it. 250 entries a day, that's 40 working days. So that's about 2 months worth of work for one pass, one proofreading pass. So I want to be able to automate as much of that proofreading as possible to reduce the number of passes, because you only have so much energy to proofread. After you've proofread a document five times, you start not being able to see the mistakes anymore. So it's a precious resource, your proofreading energy. Use it where it's needed, and use the computer to check what the computer can check. Lexical software. Some people start dictionaries in word processor. Word processor provides you with no structure information. So other people use it in a spreadsheet. If you're doing a spreadsheet, it's very easy to pull apart the different entries, not so easy to pull apart within the entries. If you use Toolbox and multi-dictionary formatter, you can pull apart the different components of an entry, but you don't get good structural information. So each entry has a kind of a hierarchical tree structure. So an entry can have multiple senses, and then each sense can have multiple examples, etc. You get a tree of structure. Toolbox doesn't support any validation of that structure. You can easily input incorrect structure, and then you can get easily in a mess. And every linguist that uses Toolbox gets into this mess. If you use software like Fieldworks Language Explorer, that keeps a lot, that imposes structure on the linguist, and that can solve a lot of problems, but it doesn't solve all of the problems. And so I will some of the stuff that I'll talk about today is also applicable to validating lexicons that you might have in Fieldworks Language Explorer or other similar programs that enforce more structure. So we're using Toolbox Plus MDF because we began in 2001, and back then there were a lot less alternatives available in terms of lexical software. So to get the structure out of Toolbox entries, you need to parse them. The MDF structure, recommended structure, is complex, so there are more than 100 different kinds of fields in it defined in MDF. Of course, nobody uses all of them. And there's no validation, hence every dictionary in Toolbox has many inconsistencies. And also, every lexicographer I've heard of has always wanted to modify MDF a bit, and they also misunderstand it, and that includes me. I'm not claiming that I'm better. And so in order to parse the Toolbox entries, we're using a technique from natural language processing called a chunking parser. And that we're using that kind of technique because it's tolerant of errors. And it lets you define the structure that you want. NLTK is the natural language toolkit. I must have pressed the wrong button. Okay, so let's look at a very simple toolbox record. So the lexeme is GOM, the V at the end is a tone marker. And has two senses, sense number one and sense number two. The SN field indicates the start of a sense, and we have one English gloss, the GE field, for each. So this has the following tree structure. And we want to be able to derive this tree structure from the toolbox record. And so we do that with a chunking grammar. So we define... Now we start defining our structure. So we define the concept of a sense, and we say that... So these are just rewrite rules. And so a sense is defined as an SN marker followed by a GE marker. This is a very simplified grammar just to suit that little example. And the plus after the GE indicates that this GE field can occur one or more times. And then we can define an entry as an Alex field followed by one or more senses. So the chunking grammar uses a regular expression kind of syntax, if you've seen that. And the things in the angled brackets are the field markers. So now I want to show how we would validate the sense number. So in an MDF record, if there's only one sense, we want the SN field to be blank. If there's more than one sense, we want the SN field to... first one to be 1, next one to be 2, next one to be 3, etc., however many. Okay, the first line of this code takes the simple.db database and parses it using that grammar that I showed you on the previous slide, and I've called it simple gram. And then the for statement goes through every entry in the database. So we're doing this for every entry. Then the next lexeme is the contents of the Alex field. And then we make an empty list. So what I want to do is pull out all the contents of the SN field and make it a list, and then compare it to what I think it should be. And then the next line gets the number of senses. We say at the start we haven't found any errors, so found error is false. So if the number of senses is 1, then we check the found sense numbers, and what we want it is to be just a list of 1 blank. And if it's not, the exclamation equals means not equals. So if it's not that, if it's not what we expect, then found error equals true. And if the number of senses is 2, then we expect to find a list 1, 2 here. And if we don't get that, then found error is true. And then at the end, we say if we found an error, then we print out in lexeme such and such, we found an error in the SN fields, and the SN fields we found are such and such. Now, this is to show you that you can write checks to check your dictionary, and it's not a huge amount of code. It's not really complicated. I mean, if you're not used to programming, then yeah, sure, it looks complicated. But if you are used to programming, that's not very complicated. And in fact, this is longer than is strictly necessary because I've tried to make it simpler to understand rather than using some of the more sophisticated techniques available in this programming language. Most of the checks are like that. They're actually pretty simple to write. The hard part of doing this validation is thinking about what things you should be checking. So when we're doing the validation, we generate a report of potential problems. I don't want to let any program loosen my dictionary and try and automatically correct things. I just want a report of errors because not everything the program thinks is an error is really going to be an error. So I want to manually correct stuff. Your early attempts at, and there's two stages to this. The first stage is trying to parse the records to get the structure. So, and then this next part is validating, doing all the consistency checking. And your early attempts at doing validation are very likely to turn up parsing problems. So you can run this grammar over every record in your toolbox database, and the program will say every record has parsed successfully. And then you'll start validating and you'll find you didn't get the results that you expect. And this is especially true for this sense number validation. Picking out the senses out of the structure is the hardest thing. And so sense number validation has turned up a lot of errors in the grammar for my attempts to parse dictionaries. We validate frequently, so we try and run validation code every week or every 2 weeks. So some validation errors, like the sense, if there's an error in the sense numbers, how to fix that's obvious. You just count. But other problems, particularly homonym number validation problems, can be quite complicated to fix. Many of them are not, but some of them are, and you'll find that you've got two homonyms with duplicate numbers, and maybe they should be merged. And to check that, you often have to go back to your language consultant. So some errors are difficult to resolve. All right, there's different types of validation. One type overcomes shortcomings in the tool. And this is particularly apparent with Toolbox because it doesn't keep much structure. So that kind of validation checks, like this sense number validation check, is one of this type. It's very useful for all lexical databases that are developed using that tool. Then other kinds of validation are language specific, useful for every language that's used in the dictionary. So I have validation checks for Yumian. I have other validation checks for Chinese, and I have third type for checks for English. And that's useful for other dictionaries that have those languages in them. And then some validation checks are lexical model specific. When I say lexical model, that is the model that the lexicographer has in mind for this particular dictionary, the way they want this dictionary to be, the way they want the structure to be. And so those checks will be different, even for different dictionaries of the same language. So some of the tool shortcoming validations that we do. So we want to check our homonyms. We don't want duplicate homonym numbers. We don't want missing homonym numbers. And if there's only one homonym, we don't want any homonym number. And sense numbers, same thing. I want to check that certain fields only occur once in an entry or in a sense. So you only want one homonym number in an entry. If you've got two, you've got a problem. And you only want one definition in every sense. I want to check that the targets of cross-references and lexical functions exist in the dictionary with the correct homonym number. And we have we use lexical functions in our dictionary for antonyms and synonyms and classifiers and a few other things. So I want to check that antonyms have the reverse lexical function. So if I'm doing an English dictionary, so I have entry hot. And now in the entry hot, I will say antonym of this is cold. So then I want to check, go to the cold entry and check cold entry also has the reverse antonym. So it lists hot as an antonym. So that antonym is a relationship that goes in both directions. I want to check that they're both there. Language specific checks. So I want to do spell checking of English. I want to check phonotactics of my UMN because we don't have a good spelling checker for UMN, but we can check, we can do some kind of spelling checking using phonotactics. And there's various orthography rules that I want to check are followed. I want to check for punctuation errors. So I want to check that there, for example, that we never put a space before a comma in English or in UMN because they use the same style of punctuation. Or if you have parentheses, that you have matching parentheses. There's all kinds of checks that you can do. I want to check that only valid characters are used in fields of that language. So these days, software is Unicode enabled. That means I could put a Hindi character in an English field. Software allow it. But it doesn't make sense, not in this dictionary. We need to check that kind of thing. And this is a particular problem for us because in Unicode, Unicode separately encodes a Chinese comma and an English comma, but visually they're very hard to separate. And also we need to have various fields that are used for sorting, especially for sorting the Chinese in a reverse index. And sorting of Chinese is quite complicated, and I don't want to go into that, but we need to have a field for that, and we can't calculate it, but we can check it. Because we often change the Chinese glosses. So, and we often forget to change the corresponding sorting field. And also, for example, we also list, this language has noun classifiers, so in each noun that has a classifier, I want to list that classifier, and then I want to check that that lexical entry exists in the dictionary, but that there is a sense in that entry that is listed with a part of speech classifier. Lexical model specific. So flexible tools can sometimes be too flexible for a specific dictionary. And so in our dictionary, we want to list synonyms, and we just want a very simple model for synonyms. Synonyms come in pairs just like antonyms. Now, that's not the way synonyms really are. That's a simplistic model, but that's what we want to do in our dictionary. So I want to check that. And a tool that properly models how synonyms work will not catch that kind of problem. And in the Purnell's model, this is referring to this other dictionary that we're doing that I want to repurpose. So he wants sub-entries to appear in multiple places in the dictionary for ease of use of the reader. But then he has consistency problem keeping them in check, keeping them matching. But actually, he wants them only partially matching. So he wants one sub-entry to be a primary copy of the sub-entry, and other copies to be shortened forms. So for example, if he has example sentences in the primary sub-entry, he doesn't want them in the secondary copy. So I want to check that these are consistent. So that's a fairly complicated lexical model. And his dictionary has 27,000 entries, and some sub-entries appear in up to four places. So he really needs software to check it. Another example is maybe you want to use a tilde instead of the head word in your examples. A lot of dictionaries like to do that. We index at each sense for a semantic domain, and we want to check that we only have between one and three semantic domains listed for each sense. any more than that's too many, need to be cut down, and we want to make sure there's at least one. Okay, all the senses are indexed with semantic domain. This is another way of validating, checking your dictionary. So I've written software that pulls apart our dictionary entries and just puts them all in a semantic domain order. And that lets you compare all the entries in all the senses in one domain together so that they you can check that they have consistent definitions, for example, or that they don't have the same, or that two different things don't have the same definition, which is very common. And it also helps in finding misspellings. Conclusions. Okay, automated validation can save a lot of proofreading effort. And it's essential if you're planning to import data into a more structured lexical tool, for example, Flex, the Fieldworks Language Explorer. You need to make sure that your data is consistent before it will accept it. And validation is useful even in more structured tools that impose more structure. No tool is going to be so structured that it's going to do the spelling checking and stuff like that. That kind of validation is useful. And the ability to program empowers the linguist. You're not then dependent on the developers of the tool to implement stuff that you need to do. Languages around the world have a lot of different characteristics, and dictionaries of them all have their own special characteristics, and I think it's unrealistic to expect that we can have a general purpose tool that will have all the features that we need, and that we're going to need some kind of method to customize our tools, and this is what this software, this kind of approach is about. I think some kind of toolbox module. The NLTK toolbox module tries to make it easier for the linguist to do this kind of checking and structuring of the data. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. We deal a lot with the curation of toolbox lexica for the import in an XML-based lexicon tool. Our student assistants do the work that your tool is doing. So the question, of course, is because what we come across a lot is that in the MDF structure, for example, you define the order of the part of speech and the sense number, and then what we come across in the lexica that we see is that in one lexical entry, the order which is defined in the MDF is maintained by the linguist, but in the next entry, the order is mixed up.
Yes.
And in the third entry, we find both orders. And for the human eye, this is all very okay, because the human eye can easily see that, okay, here was a mistake. Wouldn't it be easier to enforce the MDF or whatever structure toolbox is using on the lexical entries in the first place? That was my one question, instead of creating this tool. And the next question is, does your NLTK toolbox also provide for the use of, for example, the note marker everywhere in the lexical entry, instead of just at one location where it is defined in the MDF? Because that's what we also see a lot, that the note marker or the RF marker any location in the structure. Does your toolkit also provide the curation of that kind of use of the structure?
Yes, because the toolbox module does not define any structure at all. The user defines the structure in the chunking grammar that they use to parse the entry. So you write the chunking grammar to suit the way the lexicographer has written their entries. So you can write a chunking grammar that will pick up the start of a sense that's been either a sense number, SN field, or a PS, or and accept either order.
So
that's relatively easy. And also you just put in your grammar that you can accept an NT field anywhere.
But it would still mean that the student assistant has to go through the 2,000 entries to see which order was intended by the linguist.
Well, you can guess that this order is all right, is what they intended, and then you try and parse it, and when you get parse errors, then you can look at why you got a parse error, and then you modify the grammar.
I'm very excited with this. I'll come back to you. During the dinner. It will be very helpful for us.
Any other questions?
Do you have any sense of how many errors you find on a pass through a dictionary validating for some particular? I mean, 50, 100, 1,000?
Well, that depends very much on how often you've done the validation. Is this the first time? I would think if it's the first time, you could easily find 10% of entries. And it depends very much on the linguist.
That's useful then, I mean, to do it.
Mm.
One error in two entries, one of these structure errors.
So
thousands of them. Well, yes, and
sometimes, yeah. Well, you can, and I typically write my chunking grammar so that they will accept almost any order of fields. The important point when you're writing a chunking grammar is to figure out where the field starts and to figure out what markers can come in that field. And once you're confident that you've got the start of it, then you can basically accept any order of the rest of the markers that appear in that field. And that's the way I write mine, because ordering errors of fields are just so common, you just don't want to have to deal with everyone manually. And I have written other things in this NLTK toolbox module for normalizing lexical entries. So basically to sort them into the right order. Once you can parse them, then you can put them in the right order easily. Yes?
Have you thought of writing a front end to NLTK and Python that would make it easier for people who don't want to learn how to use Python and NLTK? I mean, just looking at the script that you put up there, which you said was very easy, I know that a lot of people just won't use it. So
yeah, I know.
An interface.
Yes, so one of the things I'm very interested in is making the software very accessible to linguists, and not every linguist is going to learn how to program. What the chunk grammar amounts to is asserting certain relationships of hierarchy between different field markers, and that kind of relationship corresponds very much to what you do in writing down a dependency grammar. And if you can graphically draw out the parent and head-child relations that you would normally do in a dependency grammar, we can automatically read off one of these parsers. So I have no idea about you just drawing a picture or showing a few of your lexical entries and annotating them for structure, and then this thing automatically learning the structure from the templates you give and you not needing to do the code. So stay tuned.
Any other question? If not,
regarding the sub-entry, with the different copies of the sub-entries, where you have to go and check that they're all consistent.
Yes.
If Herb Purnell, if he wants to have a main copy of the sub-entry, why doesn't he just keep that in the main file and have the copies generated whenever he wants, but not keep those in the main file? So then the copies will always be consistent.
Yes, that would be a better way to do it. But this dictionary that he's working on is a revised version of a dictionary that was published in 1968. It's a long history. And also at that time, there were not the programming resources to do that. So doing what you're suggesting requires a some kind of programming support. He can't do the programming himself. He's a linguist, he's not a programmer. He needs some kind of programming support. That was not available.
Okay, then we'll conclude now.